Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Thank you for joining me. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin, our kind of walk through politics from Washington to City Hall. And as I said, somewhere in between Springfield fits. But I have to tell you, it's a special kind of Sunday here at Tribune Tower. You could call it Independence Day Eve. Tomorrow, August 4th, is the big independence of the Tribune Publishing from Tribune Media, which is now all broadcasting, two separate companies. I'm kind of trying to straddle the line here. I mean, I've got my day job at Tribune Publishing, and the nice folks here at WGN Radio let me dabble into Tribune Media Company, which is, that's kind of the big company now. So we'll all see how that shakes out, but keep listening, keep buying the newspaper. I need it now more than ever, now that we're on our standalone company. And it really is kind of a role reversal from the old days, because when you think of the history of the Chicago Tribune and how for several decades it was the newspaper that helped support the broadcasting entities, and now you have Tribune Media Company, which is the broadcasting company. They're now own and operate more than 42 television stations across the United States. I mean, it's a bold new future out there as those of us, the ink-stained wretches, kind of go out on our own. So, but please pick up a paper. And also, kind of in conjunction with this, the Tribune rolled out a brand new website, chicagotribune.com. I think it's very cool. It's a nice, clean look. A lot of things to do on it. It's got an endless scroll feature for those of you who are incessantly staring at your smartphones, and you can just scroll forever on this thing. If somebody gets to the end, please call me, okay, because I've actually tried. But, yeah, check out the new chicagotribune.com. It's very cool. Well, a good friend of mine down in Springfield is Amanda Vinicky. She's the State House Bureau Chief for WUIS-FM in Springfield. And Amanda's kind enough. She's taking a few days away from the grind of the State House to join us this morning. Amanda, thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Pearson.
And even to get you up this early, too. I hate to do that to you, but...
Hey, if you can do it, I can do it.
Well, I just know on public...
You do, talking about the dabbling and everything. You're everywhere, but so I can do my little part.
Well, and of course, at public radio, you're used to getting up early. I mean...
That is true.
And
we've got to write our long, lengthy analysis, deep reports at all hours.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, and that is one of the luxuries of public radio, is that you do get to kind of explore a subject for longer than a soundbite. Mm-hmm. And I kind of joke sometimes, I view this show almost as NPR coming to WGN on Sundays, because we, you know, well,
I like the sound of that.
Well, we kind of, you know, we want to kind of elaborate on things. And one of the things I was curious about, I actually did Sam Madonia's radio show down in Springfield the other day, and he was asking me about, you know, the politics of the governor's race up here in Chicago. But I'd be curious, what is your take as far as the politics of the governor's race downstate? Is the Rauner message resonating? Is it resonating in Springfield, or is it one of apprehension in the State House?
There's definitely a mix. It's the conundrum of, you have so many state employees, of course, living in the state capital, Springfield, and they, I think, have been frustrated by Pat Quinn. They're frustrated that so much of state government has, at least in their perception, moved to Chicago, that the governor, despite promising that he was going to live in the mansion in Springfield, is rarely there, you know, dips in for session and then scoots right on out most of the time. And so I think there's a lot of frustration. And yet they're not willing necessarily to turn to Bruce Rauner. It remains to be seen whether that will be an apprehension that spreads across more of downstate Illinois. The Rauner campaign and Bruce himself was just actually right outside of Springfield this past week to announce his agriculture plan. And, you know, of course, that's bigger downstate and such. But again, it's this issue of state employees. And whereas Rauner has for sure, post the primary, aimed to take a more conciliatory tone in general, talking about, oh, I want to negotiate with legislators, and he is no longer using his oft-repeated line from the primary that basically bashed public employee unions or, quote, their government union bosses. There's so much fear what he is going to do to these unions. And so many people, in it's not just the city of Springfield, where, again, of course, because the capital is there, you have tons of people working for state government, but it's a lot of these places downstate where state government, maybe a prison or a home for the developmentally disabled, is the economic engine for a community. And the interesting thing, like I said, there's this fear because of what Rauner has said in his primary statements about unions and wanting to basically redo and overhaul state government. That said, Quinn hasn't been their friend either. You look, for example, at the Murray Developmental Center, the Jacksonville Developmental Center, the prisons downstate. He's closed all of those, and that's really hurt those communities, and there's frustration there because Quinn, for example, closed many without even ever visited them, without ever having gone to that community, at least in recent years.
Well, and I think there's also the factor, too, Amanda, that you've got downstate, you have Republican union members. And it's, you know, it's not the typical characterization that all union members are Democrats and that kind of thing. And downstate, you have Republican union members. And I was curious, you know, in the primary, when he was using his harsh anti-union rhetoric and the term, as you said, the government union bosses, how does that play for a downstate Republican who, as you said, you know, not necessarily has any love lost for Pat Quinn, but then, you know, if you're a Republican, here's your guy.
Right. And that, to me, is going to be one of the keys to this race. It helped that anti-union rhetoric helped Rauner as he won the primary and, you know, barely even. And yet you saw even there so much of a change in turnout where you had, you know, Democrats trying to take a Republican ballot in order to influence that race. And I think that there is, on one hand, it's Republican philosophy downstate. So, you know, really beliefs in that. And yet in, you know, the GOP credos and such. But it's also they want to get in when you have Democrats that are in control of state government. Yes, there are a lot more restrictions on state government hiring, and so it's not supposed to be about who you know, it's supposed to be about what you know, but there are those jobs, and Republicans are chomping at the bit for those positions. And you have seen Rauner very much try to make the rounds downstate. He says, you know, showing up on his Harley, showing up on in his, you know, old junker of a beater car, and of course every once in a while presumably taking his buddy Ken Griffin's jet.
Right.
That's definitely something that he's trying to do. You're seeing Rauner attempt to outreach, give donations to candidates in some of these races and to Republican parties, into Republican county parties and leaders there in an attempt to win their love. So I think in some of those union households, it's really going to be a battle of their wills. And yet, I think that it also, you see just by how much where commercials are airing and where the candidates make their appearances, they are coming downstate, but boy, they're in Chicago more than ever because that's really where the vote is. You saw, for example, in the last governor's election that Quinn did terrible downstate, absolutely awful, and despite Bill Brady overtaking the majority of the landmass of Illinois.
98 counties. 98 counties. Mm-hmm. Pat Quinn won four counties, and it didn't matter. But I mean, when Rauner's downstate, though, do you get the sense that, and I'll ask you a little bit later about the agricultural policy that he put out, because it didn't look very like there was a lot of topsoil
robust
on that.
there we go.
But do you sense a genuine kind of a genuineness, or is it just the political rhetoric of having to go through the motions of downstate?
You know, I think a mix of both. Obviously, when you see these candidates, and you know, Rick is
there's no such thing as genuine.
A lot of the same lines, exactly. Right. There's no such thing as genuine, and part of that, I think, is just not a judge of character there. That's a discussion that we could spend hours on, but just the facts of campaigning. And, you know, you bring out a line, bring out a stump speech, have to be very careful about what you say, because we would jump all over it the second you utter something wrong. So I think that yes, you hear a lot of the same tired lines from really both candidates, frankly. But Browner, I think, is running because he really does have a fire in his belly about the direction that Illinois is going and believes that he could change things. And I think that comes across. And as I said, I think there's a lot of that frustration. You look at unemployment. Unemployment downstate is still a great struggle. Again, these facilities closures that I think have hindered the economy in areas. You're seeing, in general, trends with people moving to cities that's hurting small towns. And so that's a true difficulty. So there's very much a desire for change, and it's yet mixed with that trepidation of, oh gosh, what's this guy going to do? Change is very difficult for people. So even though you may desire it, there is also a fear of the unknown, particularly when that unknown really wants to flip the table over, if you do believe that Rauner would be able to do that.
Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief with WUUIS-FM Springfield, joining us this morning. I'm Rick Pearson. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is The Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I'm joined on the phone by Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief, WUUIS-FM in Springfield. Amanda, we were talking before the break about, you know, this kind of mixed feeling among downstate Republicans of the fear of the unknown in supporting Bruce Rauner and trying to balance that off change. And of course, we have the fact that, you know, Republicans have been the party out of power for so long that there really hasn't been much of a Republican apparatus, Republican operation. It's not like when you're governor and you do are able to control jobs and patronage and that kind of thing, which is the real kind of power of the party, is being able to enforce that kind of loyalty. So, I mean, we've seen Rauner going to various county events. We've seen Rauner give the state Republican Party $750,000. We've seen Rauner effectively put his guy in as party chairman. And I think you'd agree with me. You're basically seeing that Bruce Rauner isn't just the candidate for governor. For all practical purposes, he is the Republican Party in Illinois right now.
Yes, there isn't a strong figurehead, hasn't really been. You know, you keep on seeing Governor Jim Edgar being brought out every time there's an election because he's the last guy you can go to. And yet you've got, you know, up and coming kids that are probably wondering, who's that guy with the fox looking hair, the silver streak?
Well, and I almost wonder if he's generationed out a little bit, you know?
And been out so many times that how often can you hold him up? He doesn't actually hold any office anymore. You know, he's teaching classes, I believe, in politics at the U of I, for example. He doesn't have any controls, and that shows where I think the Republican Party is at. It's that same division that we see in D.C., although I think to a lesser degree in Illinois. But there are many times where it does percolate to the top, this divide between moderates and conservatives, downstate versus Chicago / well, really suburban area Republicans and suburban area in general, trying to maintain GOP control that they've already seen become more Democratic as the tides in generations, perhaps in populations, also turn. So you're definitely seeing Rauner coming in. And it's not just money. He is also trying to kind of set up, I guess we could term them almost satellite operations and field organizations. It's another it's not just the jobs and control and patronage, although, of course, we know that that is so much a part of things. It's also, for example, campaign donations. When you're in control, the various lobbyists, other organizations that want to influence policy, give more money to the party that is control because, well, that's how you're going to get the results and the influence, and that puts Republicans back, gives them a harder time winning elections. I think Rauner recognizes, at least somewhat, if you were to be governor, he needs more Republican votes in order to get his policies through. When you have super majorities in both the Illinois House and Senate, it's going to be a very difficult thing. But before even getting there, of course, he would need to get elected, and that's difficult when you've seen part of the struggle is with Republican candidates being elected statewide is this lack of dollars, lack of true organization. And that's something that you're seeing him ramp up downstate. And again, in Chicago, you're definitely noticing the campaign try and make inroads and stops and influence in, for example, the African-American community in Chicago. The list kind of goes on with the areas where Rauner is trying to make inroads where Republicans really haven't past recent years.
And of course, he has the financial means, the financial wherewithal to do so. He just put another $1.5 million into his campaign. He's now approaching. I'd like to be the chump, okay? Because he's now approaching $10 million that he's putting into his campaign. And as you say, the outreach to African-American community, later today, he's unveiling some kind of Asians for Rauner support group, that kind of thing. But when you have that much money, I got to tell you, even if you are an interest group that wants to have some influence, why give the guy the money? He's got all he needs.
Oh, I know. It is interesting to get some of the campaign emails, and I haven't seen them as much recently, but every candidate does this. Dear friend, I just need $5. Please help me. Push me over the edge. This is a really competitive time. We need you. And for a while, they weren't quite that exaggerated, but yeah, Rauner was asking for, a $10, $20 contribution, and you're wondering, what on earth does that do for this guy? And who would give up a hard-earned $20 when somebody is able to give $1 million to their own campaign? I think Rauner is doing that. Part of it is not just fundraising. That's, in general, trying to make himself maybe seem like a normal guy, trying to get people's email addresses. It's part of that whole get out the vote and the apparatus that we've been talking about. But you're right. What interest groups are going to give it? You've seen a lot of the quote-unquote interest groups be a lot of his fellow very wealthy friends. And I think that that is an obstacle for Rauner.
Well,
obviously is trying to portray himself as a, good down home, care about you, middle class guy, and won't stop talking his campaign about how his White Sox season tickets are up in the high bleachers. For some people, that's a ton of money to have season tickets to any baseball game. But of course, compared to Bruce Rauner, it's an entirely different ballpark, and they're going to try and paint him as Mitt Romney. So I think you're going to have to watch Rauner navigate a difficult line in terms of saying, hey, I'll pay for this on my own. I'm going to cut a check. And does that cross over into paying to influence policy? And how will that feel to voters as they are struggling in their homes and the income gap continues to grow?
One of the things I found interesting, and you kind of touched on this earlier, that the issue of the change in the pre-primary rhetoric from Rauner to the post-primary rhetoric from Rauner. And to me, one of the greatest examples of that comes to the issue of his plans to scale back the income tax increase from the 2011 income tax increase, where now he even opens the door to the fact that the income tax rate might have to go up before he can bring it down.
Yeah, and you're seeing him tiptoe carefully on that. He got elected by saying,
nominated.
Hey, we need to get away from this income tax and criticizing Pat Quinn. And you're right. It's there. It's with unions. It's with pension talks. But what really matters, I think, to your average voter, of course, is what they're going to be paying in taxes. And it's a similar strategy, actually, to what Governor Quinn has done in terms of trying to focus more on property taxes than on the income tax, because that's where a lot of people, again, an example of where we're seeing this race truly attention being given to the Chicago area, because that's where really property taxes are, you know, ballooned. That's a greater issue than downstate, I think, largely, although farm areas, that's a different discussion as well. But he's a new guy who's trying to, I think, both engender himself to a wider public instead of just a conservative base or Republican base, where there's conservatives that have a lot of influence, and getting back to that divide that we touched on earlier within the GOP, and perhaps also trying to set himself up to maybe be a governor. And, you know, you've got to watch what statements you make on the campaign trail, because they can very easily come back to bite you if you are actually trying to govern. So I think it's largely more the electability portion. He's trying to take a more conciliatory tone. But, yeah, his financial plan for the state relied, of course, on some of the things that you would expect in terms of, you know, business growth and what have you. But I think it was a surprise to people, and remains so, that he has opened the door to not a complete rollback of the income tax hike and all these taxes on services, something that the Governor Quinn has said flat out no to. And that a Republican candidate is looking for that, I think, does show both the depths of Illinois' financial struggles. And I'm not sure if it's a stupid way for Rauner to have gone, because as the challenger, you maybe don't need to make those. We in the media say, hey, be fair, be honest, give us a plan. And you would have gotten a ton of criticism for not being frank with where Illinois' budget could go with a complete rollback of the income tax. And yet you're sure opening yourself up to a whole lot of again, disenchanted voters that are saying, hey, I don't want to give any more money to that corrupt state government in their brains. And he's feeding into the Quinn position, in a sense.
That's Amanda Vinicky, my good friend, State House Bureau Chief, WUIS-FM Springfield, who's getting ready for state fair time down in Springfield. Those days. Yes, yes, yes. Well, enjoy a restful rest of your weekend as you get ready for those hot, humid, muggy state fair Republican and Democrat
days. Ready for corn dogs and other delicious fried things on sticks.
Yeah, because there's nothing better than fried food in 100-degree temperatures and 80% humidity. Amanda, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Anytime. Have a good one.
You're listening to the Sunday Spin on WGN.